Keeping people alive was the argument in favour of Scotland's national methadone programme. It so happens that we have over a third of deaths of adult deaths in Scotland that are now associated with methadone. We have parts of Scotland, in Edinburgh, for example, that where there are more addict deaths linked to methadone than are linked to heroin. So the advice that it's a way of keeping adult addicts alive and that's why we should do it can actually turn out to be a great deal more difficult to achieve than is often advised, and the opposite can easily occur. But actually, drug abuse is always a very, very dangerous activity. Drug injecting is the most dangerous way to consume any illegal drugs. And if you're consuming, if you're injecting drugs that have been illegally obtained on the streets, then those drugs often have impurities within them that can themselves cause fatal outcomes. So I think that we need to be quite careful that we're not being persuaded to initiate drug injecting centres in the mistaken belief that it's all going to be good news and there's no serious downside.
OK, Neil, stay on the line for a moment because I've got another caller who I'd like to speak to and get your reaction to what she's saying. Kirsten, good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning. What do you think of what Neil said? Do you agree with him?
So I spent a couple of weeks in Sydney's medically supervised injection centre and saw the clear benefits. I think the good thing is that this is nothing new. So these centres have been around for over 30 years now, and there's no less than 135 published research papers on the subject showing the clear benefits. So whilst I appreciate that there might be some hesitation because this would be the first in the UK, it appears that it's a controversial service which is unfounded. The benefits are absolutely clear. So these facilities treat people like human beings. They're compassionate. They meet people where they're at. They reduce the incidence of bloodborne viruses because people are provided with sterile injecting equipment. There are trained staff on site in case there's an accidental overdose. They link people to other health and welfare services. And they reduce the incidence of publicly discarded injecting equipment. And I suppose for me, the most important thing is that you're giving people their dignity back. You're giving people a bit of hope. And if all that wasn't enough, the services are actually cost effective.
But Neil's a man who's done an awful lot of research as well. I mean, you heard from him and he's still on the line. He says, ultimately, this doesn't work. This doesn't take us any further forward.
Well, I mean, there are around 500 people injecting in public in Glasgow City Centre. And at the moment, you know, for these guys whom residential rehab and abstinence-based services is not something that they are currently considering, the point of supervised injecting facilities is that they meet people where they're at, they're non-judgmental, and you're making contact with people with no expectations or no mandatory pushing them down a certain path that they might not be ready for. So it's about making contact with some of the most vulnerable and marginalised people in our society.
Neil, what do you make of what Kirsten said?
Well, it's absolutely right. The services are trying to make contact with these very marginalised people. But, you know, we have a £60 million methadone treatment service in Scotland, funding £60 million a year. Now, why on earth are these treatment services not already making contact with these individuals? I actually dispute, really, that the only way to approach these individuals, and I'm not sure where that estimate of numbers comes from, is to provide a setting where they can carry on using their drugs and injecting them at potentially great harm.
Is it not smarter to let the users come to you? I mean, these are financially strained times. That's the smart thing. Set up a centre, they come to you, you don't have to go out and try and find them and chase them.
Well, unfortunately, that's probably the least good advice to provide. What we need to be doing is getting our services to the individuals, not asking the individuals to come to the services. If there's anything that we have learned from over 30 years of Scotland's heroin problem, is if you set up a service expecting people to come to it, they largely won't come. You've actually got to get out there into the communities and make contact with these individuals. That's the real lesson that we've learned in the past. I'm highly sceptical of the idea that you set up a centre in the city centre and hope that it will attract a large proportion of drug users to it and that you will help them thereby. I think we should have much more vigorous outreach programmes going into these communities. And, you know, these are services that are hugely generously funded publicly. As I say, the methadone program itself is estimated to cost in excess of £60 million a year. Why aren't our drug workers already going out into these communities, establishing contact with these very vulnerable people?
Kirsten, you said you'd seen one of these kind of centres in Sydney, I think. Do you think these will work in Scotland, though? Because we're a very different society. I mean, we heard Shona in Copenhagen, and, you know, so that's Denmark, a very different attitudes. People are far more open to new ideas, to radical thinking. I get the impression, at least. Scotland's a very, very conservative country. I mean, for a start, how are we ever going to set up one of these without hordes of protests from, you know, what we might call the NIMBYs, saying, I don't want that in my street, don't want that in my area? Do you think Scotland's the kind of place that's ready for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be. This is not, when we're talking about some of the other treatment services that are still available, this is not about an either-or situation. This is about having evidence-based services available to meet the needs of people that other traditional services have struggled to reach. And whilst I agree that there are definite improvements needed from other treatment services, this service would not be replacing any other services that are currently available. So, yes, I think it would work in Scotland. I think it's absolutely necessary. We're already providing sterile injecting equipment. It makes absolute sense that the next step would be that we provide a sterile environment in which people can...
But, Kirsten, what's the next step after that?
Well, I mean, the evidence is quite clear, Neil, that, you know, the more times that people engage with these types of services, like supervised injecting facilities, the more likely they are to go on and make positive changes in their lives, connect with other services. So that evidence is very clear from the 30 years of these services operating across the world.
So, Kirsten, are you suggesting that we also provide them with the drugs to inject as well?
Well, I mean, heroin-assisted treatment is a very different subject from this. So, obviously, people that are attending a supervised injecting facility are coming with their pre-obtained drug, and that they're monitored under supervision by staff while they're injecting so that they don't
die. And we know that those drugs sometimes contain bacterial agents that pose a health risk. Are you suggesting that we should provide all these people coming to such a centre not only with the means to inject and a place to inject, but also the drugs to inject as well?
Well, I certainly think that heroin-assisted treatment is another absolutely valuable service that we should be providing and that has been proposed in Glasgow. The thing with bacterial infections, of course, people would still be open to bacterial infections from the drugs that they would be injecting if they were illicit drugs. But the point of people injecting in front of staff is that staff would be able to identify symptoms very quickly and get people the necessary treatment that was needed.
And in a sense, that's really my concern here, that we have a situation where we serially go from providing inject equipment to providing a room where people can inject and provide the drugs that they can inject. And actually, there is no way out of the drugs problem from providing that level of access to the means to inject, a place to inject, and the drugs to inject. And Scotland has one of the worst drug problems anywhere in Europe. And I'm afraid the answer to that is not to facilitate drug abuse, but to work determinedly to reduce its occurrence.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to interject at this point, but it's been fascinating to hear you debate it. Thank you, Kirsten, and thank you very much, Professor Neil McKegney, for joining
You're
us this morning. Now, I want to turn it over to you. I want to know, are you, having heard Shona's experience in Copenhagen, having heard two experts giving us two sides of the story there, which side are you on? Should we have these safe drug injecting centres? The number's 0333 20 20 401. This is Scotland's Talking.
Creating a perfect